It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And I want to make sure that we get kind of a bead on everything. Now, I mean, it's just go ahead and just, you know, sit back, chill, and go, where are we at? Because a lot of times you just got to, you know, to know where you're going, you need to know where you've been and where you're at. I mean, the first thing is you hit your little satellite navigation thing and you go, get directions. From where? It's like, yeah, you are here. You know, this is the kind of thing we need to be working on. Where are we at? Well, who's going to tell you? Where are you getting your news? I can see, you know, it's entertaining. You want to kind of know what the issues are, what they're, you know, they go opposition research. I get that from Angela Keaton a lot. You know, she's at antiwar.com. And yeah, on Fox, they were saying she rails about what they're going. How do you even know? Well, I watch them to see what the opposition is saying and everything. And I'm going, I can understand from her position, being a policy person working for a site like antiwar.com. She produces for Scott Horton's radio program from antiwar.com, talking about, you know, the expansions of war and how they're spending the money on war and who's profiting from the war. They've been doing this since Kosovo. And it's good to have them there. I'll tell you this. In my entire life, there has only been two things that I ever gave money for in politics. Two things. Anything to do with politics. I mean, an enormous amount of my time and money I put into just, you know, activism. You know, doing I gazillion, like, everything past paying for food and rent and whatever. I mean, you know, car payment has gone into politics. So I'm immersed. But to give my money to somebody else for them to spend, okay, that's only happened twice. One was an act of faith. Excuse me. One was an act of faith. A friend of mine that ran for U.S. Congress as a Republican in 1994. He's now a U.S. congressman. His name's Trent Franks. He and his wife Josie helped raise our children in church. They were in the nursery. So we had four kids, one right after another. So, you know, we spent, you know, years with them, 5-6 years, you know, getting to know them. And you know, you feel comfortable leaving your kids there, taking care of them. And he ran for Congress. Well, he's big, big, big pro-life. That was his number one issue. That was it. Everything else could take aside to the pro-life thing. And his whole goal was to become, you know, a congressman. In 94, when he ran, my wife and I sat at the head table. There's 700-800 Republicans in there. You know, we were libertarian by then. I was the county chairman. You know, they're having us in there. You know, we're all buds and everything. And I took him seriously that and believe that he's driven by faith to really hammer on this Constitution thing. But I learned something. When we come back, I want to share this revelation with you of how I've walked through all the parties, all the politics, all the stuff. After 22 years, you know, I've tried it all. And, you know, I've come to some conclusions. I'll share that with you and some Meredith Whitney on the economy when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, you gotta let the riff run a little longer than most, or my wife gets mad. She's like, "Oh, I hate it when you cut off the song. Give me the goodie." I'm like, "All right, there it is." I want to finish telling this story so you understand, you know, a perspective. I mean, a lot of people, they have not had the experience to go through a lot of election cycles to where they can, say that they've tried that. Because what do they always say? You know, did you talk to your legislator? Did you call your congressman? Did you write your senator? You know, did you run for office? Did you file suit? Did you talk to the media? I did it. Okay. Did it. Got all kinds of t-shirts. All right. Wearing one now. So I'm just like, I'm good. But the thing is, a lot of people that haven't done that, yes, but this would be the best, you know, because it's their idea. They want to go through it. But, you know, it at least takes them doing it, or maybe even going through an entire election cycle before they realize, that guy lied to me. He looked me right in the face and lied to me. And I'm going, you have to go through it. So I'm just like, wanting to make sure that people know that there is some people with some experience. I can just share it with you and what I experienced. And as you start to come across this, you go, "Oh yeah, this is what he was talking about. I already know where the next day, what happens, and the next week, and the next month, and where next year, and the next election. I see where this goes." You know, because you see a template being followed. Voting blocks are everything to people that want to get elected. Their goal is the ring of power. You know, what they're going to do with it is, you know, they oftentimes have their own thing. And they're willing to trade off a whole bunch of other stuff to get this one thing that they want. And this one thing that they want, whatever it is, fill in the blank, oftentimes has a special interest attached to it that gives them the ability to have that platform to get to where they are already anyway. So, I mean, you know, fill in the blank, you know, abortion, immigration, war, I hate Muslims, I hate, you know, this minority, I hate something, I need you to go advocate for me so we can go hate them together, you know, whatever it is. So you have this kind of motivation that a lot of people will have towards something, and they want you to go and advocate for whatever it is, and they will give you the money and time and effort to get you started. If there's a bunch of other constituency out there for it, you get support. One of the things that you cannot do in politics generally is say, the Constitution bad and this is bad and that's bad and you're bad and America bad and it's all bad. No, it's got to be good. You want to change it a little bit. You want to do it, but it's all good. The system is good. We love the system. In 1994, when Trent Franks was running for Congress, I did not have his zeal for the pro-life movement the way he did, using government force, and we're going to, and I mean, he's even, you know, in parking lots, you know, thumping me on the sternum. I mean, he was all, I'm like, "Hey, man, you know, chill." But it was that passion is what I counted on for his support of the Constitution and other stuff that, you know, Bill of Rights and all this kind of, that he would incorporate into his speeches. So knowing him, you know, I'm like, "Okay, you know, Trent, I'll help you a little bit." Now, we were poor. And there was a program that he had, which was interesting, is that you had, like, envelopes that you would get sent every month, or they gave them to you or something. I can't remember. It was a payment thing that every month you set an amount you think you could afford. And I think it was, like, I don't know, $20, $30 or something for my wife and I. And we just go, "All right," you know, as the campaign would go on, you'd send it in. And there's, and I like this idea, you know, I may do this sometime, that it'll be, "All right, it's like a subscription." You know, you're giving me money every month. And it's like, when you don't like what I'm doing, you just stop sending the money. Ooh, I like, I give you a double payment on that. Matter of fact, I have a lot of people that do that. You know, just here recently, at the beginning of the week, all of a sudden, I get $200 from a couple out of California. They're like, yeah, just for whatever. You know, you just keep doing it. And they do that every, I don't know, 6 months. They'll just see something on Facebook. They go, right on, here's a couple $100. You know, cause. Well, a lot of people do that. Some do it a lot more. Some do it a little less. That's how we do what we're doing. We should make more of a campaign out of it. And as we get the upgrades done on Freedom's Phoenix and all that kind of stuff, we may do that very thing. But a lot of the times I'm so busy spending everybody's money that I'm, you know, don't spend enough time getting more of it. So we'll work on that later. My wife's starting to, you know, tap me on the shoulder. But the thing is that I have confidence that whenever it's time, you know, people will donate, people will give the money. You know, this isn't free to do all the stuff that we do, but there is enough support out there over 22 years of doing this. When I really need it, I have no problem getting it because of this. I never say, give me money, I'll go do something. I do a bunch of stuff and I go, look, man, I need money to keep doing it. Cool. But you want all it, you're good. You know, when you just keep doing it, here we go. Well, with Trent Franks, I did that. I was kind of, you know, in support of having somebody up there that, you know, that I thought could be a benefit. It became very, very obvious pretty quickly that, you know, he had other interests. He lost that primary. Then he ran again, I don't know, like three elections ago, and became a congressman here. Immediately, I mean, he sold out. It was obvious. He was in oil. He was a wildcatter, you know, in the oil industry and so on and other businesses. But he, you know, he definitely with Daddy Bush. I mean, with Baby Bush. And Daddy, too, whatever. And what happened is he was the final vote on Medicare D, I think it was, you know, the prescription thing. And for him selling out, he got the ride on Air Force One. But they didn't land in Phoenix. Oh, heck no. They went and landed some campaign stop for Bush in Las Vegas. Hey, he come here to Phoenix, man. He knew he was going to have to face the crowd. So in talking to him after this, I did it, well, Ernie, yeah, I got this and that and so on. And here's his rationale. This was his big thing. He goes, Ernie, my vote was traded off for the promise that President Bush would appoint a constitutional U.S. Supreme Court justice, you know, because he had another appointment coming up or something. And I'm going, well, isn't that what he's supposed to do? I mean, seriously? He's trying to trade off of that? So I'm going, I can see where this is going. And I'm much more reserved with my money. After this, in mid-90s, is when antiwar.com started about we're going in the war in Yugoslavia, you know, Kosovo, all that kind of stuff. And Eric Garris was a, you know, hardcore libertarian from back in the day, and so on. He just had his fill of the party, and he went and started his own why aren't we anti-war? And that was one thing I was talking about this weekend. Yeah, that's right. You go on top of Freedom's Phoenix, and you'll see the debates of me in Kansas and in Indiana, where I was this last weekend doing LNC chair. I'm running for national chair, Libertarian Party, blah, blah, blah. But you see the difference. This is you watch those two speeches, debates, and you'll see there's, you know, the other side, and we kind of got to be a little bit more in, you know, in mainstream and bring in the conservatives and that kind of, and then the hardcore libertarian position that I take. So the other side doesn't matter. They're all kind of, you know, mamby-pamby. But, you know, the thing that I bring to this is like, man, that is, I've been down this road before. You think this is, well, if we were just more moderate, if we appealed to the conservatives more, if we brought them, I'm going, seriously, I've been through this in so many different ways. It doesn't work. We have to change us. It's a culture thing. You know, we got, why do you think they spend so much money brainwashing us? Mandatory youth indoctrination camps, public schools, propaganda in the media, corporate media that's, you know, owned by large corporations that benefit from the military-industrial complex, you know, duh. You know, this, I mean, yeah, whatever. We have the internet now, the ability to communicate mind to mind, and an entire generation of people, everybody under 30 is already doing it, and anybody in politics playing this traditional thing, if they don't know what's going on, it's because they're not looking. I've been nose to nose with this thing for years. I don't think I know. I know! To my satisfaction. In the mid-90s, the second one that I gave money to, I mean, even my favorite candidates, I would never, I don't want my name on anything. I don't want to be on, you know, I already tried that thing with Trent, didn't you? I'm just, no, associated with, no more. Nobody speaks for me except me. But I'll help. I mean, New York was like Adam Kokesh in New Mexico. Heck, man, we'll do it up. We had two events. We'd go out there, made signs, give them a sign-making table. We didn't give them fish. We gave them the equipment. We gave them a fishing pole. I mean, we just, you know, do all this stuff. That's how I'm much more effective with my time. But there was one other thing that I gave money to on a regular monthly basis, one other thing. When we come back, I'll tell you what it was. We're right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I tell you, we got lots of stuff to worry about. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it reminds me of, you know, Alan Parsons' song. You know, we have, oh, you'll like this. United Kingdom. They are starting to give speeding tickets with satellites. It's like Scamra 2.0.
I am the guy in the sky.
From space! Yeah, you think, you know, it's like, you think they're doing that, Ernie? I don't know. I just need to ask a question. What's the question I gotta ask? Can they? If they can, they are. You know, they talk about, oh, we got sensors in the airports now. They go, oh yeah, we're looking at, on his cerebral cortex, there's some activity in the front, back, side, whatever. He's, you know, blah, he's getting ready to something, whatever. And all of a sudden you're walking, you just had a fight with your teenage son on the phone or your wife or your girlfriend and you're walking down and all of a sudden you get tackled by all these TSA police people, FBI, SWAT team. Gosh, yeah, I read your mind. Yeah, and then that technology sensors get added to a satellite. You know, they're going around all of a sudden, Hellfire missiles going to everybody's house that, you know, was watching, an action movie or something. I mean, you know, will they? See, I don't, you know, that's not the question. Can they? If they can, well, they wouldn't do some of that stuff because that would be wrong. this is why we have to be so concerned. It's the culture. You know, it's what's accepted. It's what's allowed. It's what we have to fear. You know, I am so much more worried about us than I am them. You know, we need to just get our minds right. Like Cool Hand Luke. Is your mind right, boy? Well, what's being right? You know, your mind right being subservient? Is your mind right when you're passive? Is your mind right when you're informed? I mean, you what makes your mind right? I don't know. I vote that truth thing. You know, that's the only thing. Well, what do you do when you find out the truth that fill in the blank? And I'm going, I don't know. It's your thing, man. That's individual. I'm not going to make somebody's decision or mind up for them. But I think they should be informed to be able to make up their mind. Well, one of the other things that I went through was I would rarely have anything to do with anything in politics unless it was education. You know, we bring on a topic. You know, I really am going to, as time goes on, you'll start seeing me looking for opportunities to push on this anti-war thing. Because that is kind of, it seems, I mean, everything that I do, it just seems that is, it's all geared towards that. Because it's, you know, like what did the bank robbers say? Yeah, you go to the bank because that's where the money is. You know, so this is this military war machine thing. You know, it's beautiful because when you send a missile or you shoot a bullet, you know, you don't get to reuse it. It's not like arrows. you gotta make another one. So they love that. You know how they do missiles? Yeah, you know, I didn't know this. It was, it was a couple election cycles ago. I was making a deal out of it. Cause here in Arizona, Hughes Missile Systems is in Tucson, or at least was, I don't know. They have, you know, like Patriots, and they do cruise missiles and this kind of stuff. And that was, I think, Hellfire. I mean, a lot of missiles, all right? So they bring candidates down there. And they'll have Republican Day and Democrat Day, and then who we let the Libertarians and Independents go with, you know, whichever is a smaller crowd or something. Usually Democrats will go with them, and they'll, you know, do their spiel. And I remember asking them, this is during the, you know, I was running for Congress back in like 96 or something. And I'm going, so when the Montana militia secedes, or Montana secedes from the United States, and the militia asks for some stingers, do you send them to them? Heck no. Our customers, the federal government. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Because, you know, there's other states that they support. I mean, it goes to, you know, various countries that they'll send to because they got a permission slip. Or not. I mean, you know, they just do it anyway. But, of course, you know, any kind of freedom-oriented, that's not how they make the decisions. The decision is based on, you know, I don't know, who's got the money? I guess the U.S. government. But I was just having some fun with them. And the one thing that I found out is that they are, it's all about the money and how they do this is they oftentimes got lease deals. They don't sell the missile to them because they have maintenance that needs to be done on them. At least that's, you know, what they say. So they'll send you, you get $1 million missile, but you only pay, I don't know, less. Let's say $100,000 for it. But then you got like a $25,000 a year thing on it to, you know, keep upgrading the chip or adding more blah, blah, blah to it. You know, you get a new GPS, you know, whiz bang accurate, better, you know, whatever. All right. So they have maintenance on this thing. They only get the full amount when they use the missile. They get to a point that they start to be obsolete and all that kind of stuff. So we got to find something to attack. All during the Clinton administration, they were, you know, lobbing missiles and stuff in Iraq constantly. Why? They got to get rid of the munitions. You know, you can't just have them. You got to use them. So once I started to realize this, I started putting some money somewhere. I'll tell you when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I am high in the sky, looking at you. I can read your mind.
Yeah, they can read your mind.
Dealing with fools, I can cheat you blind.
I can cheat you blind. And what are we going to do? Just, what? You know, change the channel. I'm so, you know, I used to think that, you know, I get it. You know, when I was in my 20s and I'm going, yeah, I'm pulling the right thread. I knew that. I mean, I was, you know, dealing with this federal government commerce thing, economy. I'm pulling the right thread. I knew it would. And it kind of pulled me in. How did they get away with this stuff? It was election law. They eliminated competition. They made sure you may choose from our boy A, B, or C. I mean, you know, it is just a game. Then when you go, nah, I'm, you know, fax machines started to come in, you know, the emails, even in the, you know, 93, 94, that kind of started. And then, you know, the Perot thing in 92 and the emails really kind of started back. And then I remember, you know, it just started getting going. And by 94 election, it was becoming more and more prevalent. And then it, you know, and you could see the future. 95, you know, we started doing web page, you know, simple web pages and so on, and really pushing that. We could get all our information out, bypass the media. Front page of the Arizona Republic B section, you know, first cyber candidate, you know, enters the race. I was campaign chair for Gary Fallon, running for Phoenix mayor. And we had the full slate, all the city council and the mayor slots open, and they're going, ooh, here comes this internet thing. And they could see, but it wasn't until 2002 that if you're running for office, you don't got a web page, boy? Well, then you're not really a candidate. We were shocked it took that long. We're like, seriously? And And it was the youth that, you know, understood, you know, the power and the use, and actually would go if you had a clean, you know, site. And then our sites, libertarians, were, you know, voted the best, most effective, most resourced, kind of, you know, whatever. Because the newspaper editors, you know, they wanted, you know, what make their job easy, and as would voters. They go to a site and it goes, okay, what's his position on whatever top issues they thought was of concern? Is it easy to find stuff? Do we have, you know, clips or links to what? I mean, you know, all this stuff, they're going, all right, cool. This is, you know, this is good. You know, some of us do better than others, and some of us got more time than others or whatever. But, I mean, you can have, I remember 2002, the gubernatorial race, it was Matt Salmon was running for governor against Janet Napolitano and Barry Hess, the libertarian. And, man, did his website have every freaking bell and whistle there possibly was. They might as well just add a, you know, just to be consistent, put a little icon picture of a kitchen sink or something. Because, I mean, damn. But there was no substance. There was no, it was all flash and, you know, blah, 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 and style. And, Ed, you know, there was an answer in there somewhere, right? There was a consistent theme in there somewhere, right? Well, I'm in a race now that's kind of like that, you know. So I'm, you know, I understand, do people see through that? Well, hopefully, you know, libertarians do. In the mid-90s, when they started doing, we're going into Kosovo and such, there was a guy, Eric Garris, that created antiwar.com. And I was told, the guy that does my page for ErnestHancock.org and my LNC run for chair, he was the first one. He used to be state chairman of the Libertarian Party here in Arizona, and he's a postal carrier, works for the U.S. Postal Service as a delivery, he's a mailman. And he goes, Ernie, you got to check this thing out. So I go, and I go, man, these guys, you know, they're serious. They got it going on. They're writing, you know, they're doing it. I mean, they're doing the yeoman's work. They're out there finding what the truth is about it. You know, who are the people, you know, bringing the pieces of the puzzle together on an international scale. Who's doing what, when, where, and why? And how? And I'm going, wow, 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 wow. I had absolutely no money. I couldn't afford, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I write a check for Taco Bell, it would have bounced. I mean, you know, I felt so, you know, I wanted to do something that I went to antiwar.com and I did like $5 a month on a credit card. I can, you know, we'll make $5 a month work. I mean, I have four kids and going, you know, private school, getting ready to do kind of, you know, I mean, you know, I'm putting all my effort into that. And I'm going, you know, this is important. I just add a principle. They are now the only stalwart against the principle of having to be at war with somebody all the time. I'm amazed that America can't stay out of conflict. I mean, we're not strong enough. I mean, are we, that's what keeps the peace? Is that what makes us safer? Is that, I don't think so. I really don't. And I'm really focusing on, you know, as time goes on, we get to the election, it'll be the right time. There'll be a time that I'll be able to devote some attention to anti-war philosophy. You know, I mean, you know, I'm all about defense, man, you know, but a lot of times they'll just make up something. It's like, you know, let's go blow up the Maine or something so we can, you know, North and South Korea. We got a South Korean ship torpedoed. Who benefits from that? How many times they do this kind of crap? And can we take a bloody nose and we just go treat it as a crime, go find out what SOB did it? And you find out it's one of your own guys, you know, but we always find out later after, you know, tens of thousands of Americans lose their lives. I'm willing to take a hit. Yeah, but it'd be in a mushroom cloud. And I go, you think, all you got to do is ask yourself, you know, would these guys do this kind of stuff if it gave them what they wanted? Oh, no, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. Well, man, if you're looking at history, they don't care. They, them, those. If those won't be left alone, those just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? Which one are you? I mean, you're going to use force, threat of force, false flags, make crap up, You know, got to get them. Why? What are they doing to you? Why? What? Is it a team thing? You think like you're rooting for the Detroit Tigers or something? You know, I mean, well, what is the mindset behind this? Make it feel better? You got that low self-esteem? You need to, you know, be, you know, bombing somebody? Man, it's a sickness. So that's why I do a lot of stuff that I do. We're going to be having, it looks like it may not be Labor Day. We're looking at a contract, and what we have for the Freedom Summit is a nice place that we did, and it has like an outside area that you can go into the rooms, and it has an outside garden, and it's really cool. The one for the first week in December, it'll be nice. You know, we were there at the hotel, but we were in different rooms because they were inside. And this is kind of an outside thing. December, be styling, man. It'll be cool. But Labor Day, it's 110 degrees. That wouldn't be as cool. So I said, we need to move this one inside. It's like, well, we don't have the inside available that weekend, so we may do it a different weekend. I'm looking at contracts now. But I still think right around the beginning of the school year, as the students come in to ASU, that we need to have an anti-war something. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to front the effort on this thing. And I know we have people that will, you know, kind of make sure we got the money. And then, of course, enough people go, it'll pay for itself. I'm not worried about that. But it's who's doing the anti-war thing? Democrats? Is that they embrace that? Not until like 2 months before the election, where they'll start screaming how, you know, whatever. And I remind you, I got an email from a friend of mine. He said, oh, you're a prophet. And it came from a post that I did when Dr. Paul was debating in one of the Republican debates, where he goes to McCain and says, what would you do in the president's financial strategic blah, blah, blah group, the plunge protection team? It was obvious McCain had no clue what he was talking about. And I didn't either. So I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? So I go on the site and I said, look, guys, I know this is important. I could see from, you know, McCain's reaction and, you know, Ron Paul smirk that, man, he just nailed him, and I have no idea what they're talking about. So Pal Gamma, my senior editor, he goes, I know what he's talking about. It's plunge protection team, and he's, you know, McCain's toast on this thing. Even afterwards, I think it was O'Reilly was in the parking lot, and they're going, yeah, he didn't have a clue what he was doing. So they, you know, video and YouTubes, and they just start making fun of McCain. Well, I'm going, okay. You know, what else is going on? What else do we not know? What else is there has happened? Well, at the time as I'm writing this, I could see the theme of these debates was who could be more militant. The Republicans, no, I would nuke Iran the first day in office. Yay! I mean, it was how much posturing could you, even the Democrats. You'd have Obama and Hillary went to meet with the Bilderberg group. You know, they kind of, you know, this little secret time. Oh, they're supposed to be conferencing, and they took and put all of the press corps that was traveling with Obama, got them on a plane. Obama's supposed to be getting on. They closed the door, take off. All the press is gone. Obama went to meet with Bilderberger guys. You know, and they're going, what just happened? Well, they wanted to have a secret meeting, and you know, this way we corralled you, ha, in your face. Okay. Well, what happened when they come back? All of a sudden they're going and kissing the ring at AIPAC, you know, the Israeli, American-Israeli political whatever. And you're going, what the heck is going on? It was so much rhetoric in going to war with Iran, which is a bad idea, by the way. You got 70, 80 million people of a technologically advanced society. They're not even Arabic. They're Persian. These guys have been, I mean, oh, and they get it, too, because the United States, you know, assassinated or overthrew, got rid of their democratically elected leader in the 50s to put in the Shah of Iran. You think they forgot about that? That's why we had the hostages taken and you got them all religiously riled up and the Khomeinis and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We just keep, you know, dealing with this because they, you know, they want Iran under their thumb, and it hadn't happened since the Shah got kicked out, and man, they don't like it. They want Iran because just a nice little space on their risk strategic board, and they want it, and because they can. Well, we'll just do this and say this and move this, and eventually we'll get it. So what are they doing? They're surrounding them with military bases. I mean, Iraq and Afghanistan, it's all about how many military bases can we do. So what do you have? You have guys from Pakistan, you know, going in and attacking the bases in Afghanistan. And the U.S. is pulling back right after they got 30,000 more troops. You know, we haven't learned this lesson. You know, what did we do? We sent all these arms and everything. That's what Iran-Contra was all about. That's what, you know, Oliver North and all this kind of, you know, we're sending all this money into Afghanistan, you know, to go after Russia, and we kind of pulled them in. They were like, yeah, come on in. You know, we got, oh, we're undermining your kind of your group and this, that. Boom, they come in and go, ha, got you where we want you. You know, slammed on, bankrupted them. And somehow we're immune from that. You know, they're not, the other guys aren't going to do the same kind of stuff. I mean, heck, you know, you on the black market, you get a discount when you buy, you know, air-to-air or ground-to-air missiles, you know, from Russia. You know, surplus. Now, this is, and they don't mind. They just sell more stuff. It's all good. So, this war thing is just, war is a racket. Smedley Butler, man. You know, a lot of people don't know that he was a general that the banks tried to get as to do a military coup to take over from FDR. It was a big, huge to-do in the 30s. He's testifying before Congress how they were trying to do it. It becomes big congressional hearings. It becomes a big deal. Nobody hardly gets prosecuted. Why? Because they're so intertwined with each other, it wasn't anybody's interest to, you know, take them down. But it's all documented. You know, I got that. I hear about it a lot, but I just read it in, I was leaving Friday from Sky Harbor, the international airport here in Phoenix, and I see Jesse Ventura's American Conspiracy, you know, his conspiracy book. And I go, yeah, okay, I'll read that and everything. I'm not, you know, he's by no means libertarian. I didn't get the impression that, you know, I agreed with him on his philosophy and everything. But he's doing, you know, a history and this happened and this guy and he's good because he thinks because of whatever. And you read all this stuff and you're going, you know, I can see from a Navy SEAL's perspective, you know, looking at all the, you finally come to the conclusion that, damn, we got some bad stuff. And then they're freaking out. Oh, you conspiracy nuts. And I'm like, at what point do you become a nut by ignoring a lot of this stuff? I'm like, holy, how crazy do you have to be to allow this stuff just to whiz by you? So, I can see a big issue in my life, you know, being incorporating a lot of this anti-war. I can see there's a big motive, big money. Big, you know, it's always the fear, the fear, the fear. We got to be, you know, we were always at war with Eurasia, you know, from 1984. You know, so I want to make sure that you guys understand that as time goes on, when I get the time and, you know, as we progress on this, I'll be focusing a little bit on just, you know, this next war that's coming. There's a big war coming. I have no idea where it is. I have no idea how it's going to happen. I have no idea who's going to be the foe. I have no idea how they're going to make excuse for it. I have no idea. But I know they're going to do it. It's just standard operating procedure. There will be something happen. There will be a galvanizing event. There will be another, you know, project for a new American century. We need a Pearl Harbor memo. There will be something that has to happen. It will be irrefutable. They will have freaking, the guy dropped his passport at the scene. There will be, you know, papers on the vehicle that he rented to do it. There will be videotape of him confession. Dang. It will be the most open and shut case, you know, 3 hours before it happened. I mean, it's just the way they work. So I just want you to be prepared. When this happens, it's going to be anybody that opposes this kind of stuff. They're going to vilify like you wouldn't believe. And the more effective you are at doing it, the more they'll target you. You know, and it reminds me of the speech that Martin Luther King gave before he was assassinated. You know, he's like, hey, we're going to get there, but, you know, I may not make it with you. Because, you know, people that are the most effective at pointing this stuff out, you know, if it's the bad guy's advantage, you just be gone in one way or another, discredited, dead, you know, whatever. Done. Push the button. Gone. I am safer by being on every list. It's safer to be at top of the list. And you can help me be on the list. And understand, because I need your help. Peace.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I've got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, let's just take a glance over. Turn just a little bit and say, what's that? What's that? Something inside of my eye. What was that? That's bad. That is bad. I think I should share that with somebody. Well, that's what this show's about, and say hello. You know, one thing that I want to do is play some Meredith Whitney. I mean, she's always got to. I haven't had time to review the whole thing, so we'll just do it together. Because, you know, my whole thing is that it's the financials are where this is all going. I mean, the money has to go somewhere. You know, it's always follow the money. Well, the central bank, I mean, you're talking gazillion trillions of dollars, and it's kind of hard to hide this stuff. I mean, they'll justify it, and we did, and kind of because, and, you know, and whatever, you know. But we just know it a little bit. And I reviewed a little bit, and it kind of starts off slow, and it gets into some goody. But Meredith Whitney, she has a Meredith Whitney advisory group now, but she used to be with Oppenheimer, I think, and she called a bunch of stuff. She's going, no, these banks are going. Man, you can only play with the math so long before they go. This is, you can blah, blah, blah all you want. Here it comes. Well, it did. You know, do they blame her? Well, it was all your fault. Right. You know, any one person. I had that, you know, told to me by a real estate broker. He goes, it's guys like you that, you know, make this, you know, crash. I'm going, woo, man, I got some mots, man. I'm the man if I can do this. Just little old Ernie. Heck no. It, you know, it's going to happen or not. There's nothing you can say or do that's going to have any kind of permanent effect. I mean, you may cause a blip on the stock market because President Bush says he didn't like broccoli or something, and the price of broccoli goes down for a couple of weeks. But, I mean, come on. Seriously? You know, this is – so let's go ahead and give this a listen. This is CNBC closing bell, and see what she has to say about the financials because they've been shooting up. You know, I mean, you look at the stock market, woo, but it's going to get ready to go. You know, let's go ahead and check that out first. I mean, that's one thing that we should, you know, before we even go look at this, I usually check it in the morning. This is what I do. On Freedom's Phoenix, you have these, that has a lot of features, and we'll go over it as we get the new upgrades, but it's, I can have hot links on there. I just go in my module when I log in, I just click on certain things. It makes it easier for me to keep Freedom's Phoenix as my homepage. So let's go ahead. And the first thing I do is I open up the precious metals. We're going to look at that. Dow Jones, just for grins and giggles, not that it means anything. And 30-year treasury bond, because, you know, that's when there's going to be big changes. All of a sudden, they're like, you know, 4.5%, 5%. When that shoots up to 10% or something, that means they have to give enormous amounts of interest and promises to anybody just to lend us money. You know, sooner or later, they're not going to do it. They're just going to say, you know what? It wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. And then they will do any and everything they can to try and make sure that people will give money. They will, oh, heck no. All right. So let's go ahead and take a look. And let's see. Oh, it's gone down 4.62 on 30-year. So that means that people are putting money in the stock market. Why? Because it's going up, I guess. You know, I keeping track of it. People I trust say that's something I need to, you know, keep a look at. Okay. Ooh, traffic of Freedom City has gone way up. That's good. And then we have, stock market's gone up. Went up 141 points today. I mean, at the opening, it just shot up about 50, 60 at opening. Ooh, why would it do that? Why would it do that? Then let's go ahead and go look at, go real quick. We got time. Yeah, let's go look at it. 1166. Oh, that's still staying up. Why would it go up and the stock market go up at the same time? Woo, silver, 1833. Oh, something's about to happen. We come back. We'll see what Meredith Whitney has to say about it. I know it'll be interesting.